Will Auburn be number one today at noon when the AP Basketball Bowl comes out? Dane Bradshaw, SEC Network basketball analyst, joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline to discuss it. Dane, you were on the call for Auburn's 80-71 win against Ole Miss Saturday night. 13 straight wins, tied with Davidson for the longest win streak active in college basketball. It looked scary for a while. First half was not going well. Why is this Auburn team able to turn it on and able to be as dangerous as they were in the second half of that game against Ole Miss Saturday night?
I think they're learning that they're going to get everybody's best shot. And they're the hunted, obviously, and the target's on their back now. And, you know, and Bruce Pearl's team this year, I think even though that one was a little bit of a roller coaster ride, you know, they've also had some big wins this year where they just led wire to wire, where it's a little bit less controlled chaos, if you will. I mean, when I played for Bruce and that style of play he had where there was so much pressing involved, and they, you know, their defense relied heavily on turnovers and pace and get steals, momentum, and that's still a big part of their strategy, but they don't have to have it. I mean, they can play in the half court and still beat you there. And I think when you're playing against a team like Ole Miss, who's going to be hyped up, and now all of a sudden you can start stealing the lines that John Calipari says, hey, every time we go on the road, it's the other team's Super Bowl. You know, and I think that's starting to become a situation for Auburn where, you know, it's going to be a sold-out arena no matter who they play against, and teams want to storm the court. And I know that's as much as Bruce Pearl loves to play the underdog role, I think he loves to be able to go on the road and say, man, this place is sold out because Auburn's here.
It's pretty cool when you think about where they've come from and just how quickly they've arrived. Their transfer portal and the access that they've had to the transfer portal has been ridiculous. I mean, to be able to go out and get the pieces that they've gotten this year, we actually spent quite a bit of time on the transfer portal. Dan, we know that transferring's not new in college basketball, but the immediate eligibility certainly changes things. So what was it that Bruce Pearl was selling in the offseason that really made it enticing for those three guys, their best players, to choose Auburn to finish out their college career and chase a championship?
Yeah, great question. I think, one, you look at the guards, Zepp Jasper and Wendell Green, and you point to the track record that Bruce has had, you know, whether it's Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, and others. I mean, those were the Final Four guys. But the small, feisty, speedy guards that are just an absolute pest for the other team and get a long leash in Bruce Pearl's offense, you show the film and it's like, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of this. Not only that, it's not just the small guards, but also these guys were overlooked a little bit. You know, look, they're College of Charleston, Eastern Kentucky. So, and Bruce can say, hey, look, that's who I was. I'm a D2 guy. It took forever to get my chance. Then I was a mid-major guy at Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He's had a history of taking guys, whether it's guys that were overlooked or guys that needed a second chance for whatever reason, and getting the most out of those players. And it's a cool story because, look, I'm not a huge fan of guys transferring left and right. I'm sure you aren't either, where, you know, the narrative can sometimes be they're running for something, running from something. But in a lot of cases, you know, these guys were overlooked or not given a chance, and now all of a sudden they're shining on an even bigger stage and platform. And of course, Walker Kessler, the North Carolina transfer, where he's coming closer to home, getting more playing time. His rim protection's been phenomenal. And I, you know, he surprised me in a good way because when I look at Bruce Pearl's offense, yeah, I love the, whether it's the one, the two, the three, or the four, but the five man, it does well, but I, you know, sometimes I wonder how well that guy can be on the offensive end for them, given the guard oriented system, and the four man is always kind of that mismatch, Chuma Okeke type player. And we're seeing it now with Jabari Smith. But, man, they have done a great job of getting Walker Kessler in some very advantageous spots. It doesn't mean they just call a ton of plays for him. He's going to get 20 shots a game. But the quality of his looks right there at the rim. And then, of course, they're just a different team with him in the game defensively with his rim protection.
Dane Bradshaw, SEC Network basketball analyst, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. You think about his first five career SEC games, 11.2 per game. He's shooting 77% from the field, 8 boards, 5 blocks for Walker Kessler. it feels like, and I agree with you on the guards, Dane, the couple kids who can just flat out go and are not afraid of really any shot on the floor, but is Auburn's length ultimately what's going to separate them from maybe not only the SEC, but every team they could potentially see in the NCAA tournament?
It's the icing on the cake, because the ball pressure they have with the guards. When I talked to Kermit Davis, the Ole Miss head coach, prior to the game, and others have said this too, but for the other coaches, look at number 12, Zepp Jasper, and say, that's the best on-ball defender I've seen in college basketball this year. He was showing clips of Zepp Jasper to his own freshman point guard and said, this is how I want you to be the head of the snake. But what allows him to also be that aggressive, and KD Johnson, I mean, think about how much more confidence you have to put pressure on the ball, knowing that if you do get beat, guess what? I'm probably not going to get taken out of the game for giving up 2 points, because my guys on the backside, Walker Kessler and others, are going to, you know, disrupt the shot, whether it's an altered shot or a block, and we're getting the ball and going the other way. And so you just have the best of both worlds with that peace of mind of the rim protection down low, yet the ball pressure that can be even more aggressive on the perimeter. And I just I love how they're just on the attack. Auburn's never on their heels. I thought KD Johnson was an absolute pit bull last game. Really changed the momentum at the end of the first half. Ole Miss was trying to hold that double-digit lead, going to halftime, not let Auburn have any momentum. KD Johnson gets two steals right there at half court to give Auburn a little pep in their step going into halftime. And just to go back to the transfer thing, when you look at guys like KD Johnson and others, one thing Bruce Pearl said, he said, look, I think we're set up to handle success well, because most of these guys haven't had it. And so when you haven't had success, it's easy for you, not only if you haven't had it, but if you've gone through failure before, it's a lot harder for you to, you know, get complacent on that success. And I think guys like KD Johnson, who did not win at Georgia, Wendell Green has not played at the SEC level before. You know, Walker Kessler hadn't been a key piece before. And the list goes on. And then even the guys that returned, that they didn't get a chance in the postseason because of the COVID year and then the self-imposed suspension last year. And I think there's just a great focus in that locker room.
Alabama's struggling right now. Are they? I'm not really necessarily, as a fan basketball fan, I'm conditioned for disappointment. Yeah, so
basketball's hurting a little bit too.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I'm not as concerned about football. I think they'll be all right. Basketball, full disclosure, it's been a little bit of a disappointing run. I feel like they've played hard in both the last two games. I mean, going on the road to win at Mississippi State would have been tough. I mean, not like Mississippi State's, you know, great, but certainly a road game, road wins, always a tough place, always tough to get those. So I'm not too deflated as of right now, Dane. But I'm less optimistic than I was 3 or 4 weeks ago. So make me feel a little bit better if I'm an Alabama fan.
Well, to start SEC play, I really felt like Alabama, Tennessee were right in the mix to be contenders to win the SEC title. I don't feel that way about either of those teams now. That doesn't mean they might not make a run to the Sweet 16 or something like that. But obviously, they've had, you know, for Alabama's sake, three consecutive losses. And they're not, you know, embarrassing losses. You'd like to be able to take care of business at Missouri. And he's scheduled hard throughout the season. Everything from the Memphis game right after Gonzaga, Houston, to the Davidson game. That was kind of a rescheduling deal right before Christmas break. It was a dangerous one. And so they've gotten exposed a little bit of times. And this doesn't seem like much, but, you know, from three-point line, I think they're around 32% right now, whereas last year they were around 35, 36. It might not sound like much to the average listener or viewer, but, gosh, that's the difference between winning and losing. I mean, one or two more threes a game that they were getting last year that they're just not hitting as efficiently this season, and you look at some of these losses that have all been one, two-possession type games, but I'm sure Nate Oates would say, yeah, look, that is part of it, but the other part is we were elite defensively last year. We're good this year. We're not bad. But we were elite last year. And as they say, Herbert Jones, the defensive player of the year, isn't walking through that door anytime. And as we talk about Auburn having that peace of mind and the cleanup guys on the back line, whether it's shot blocks, charges, that's what Alabama had in Herbert Jones that they're missing. And so they've got to find a way to guard the ball better and not give up nearly as many points per game. And that was certainly the big reason why Nate Oates' team took that next step. We all knew his teams could score, but could they defend? And he got them to do it at a high level the same way he did when he was at Buffalo, when they were top 30 offense and defense efficiency.
All right, Dane Bradshaw, SEC Network basketball analyst on the Bud Light Hotline. AP poll will come out at noon today. Do you believe Auburn deserves to be the number one team in the nation when that poll is released?
Yes, I do. And that's not even being biased. But I value other experts' feedback. I'm reading articles out there, and the resume, it speaks for itself. They're if you focus on what the NCAA and the net rankings, the quadrant one, quadrant two type wins that they've had, certainly only one loss, and that one loss was not a bad one, a double overtime loss to UConn. Being, you know, the fact that they, I mean, this week lined up perfectly for them. All the losses the top five teams had, and then Gonzaga, your biggest threat to number one, had good wins, and they're playing extremely well. Gonzaga's putting up 110 points left and right on people. But they don't get the benefit of playing in a team, in a conference like the SEC, where all of a sudden Auburn has the big-time road win at Alabama. And for that reason, as well as the rest of the resume, Auburn's going to be number one for the first time in program history. How long it'll last, I don't know. Last time Bruce Pearl was number one at Tennessee, they had an emotional win against Memphis, number one versus number two, and then they went on the road the next game and lost to Vanderbilt. And the way the schedule lines up, I don't see them losing to Georgia this week, but Kentucky, their resume might not be as good, but from an eye test standpoint, Kentucky's playing every bit as good when they have the full roster and healthy, which they do now, as Auburn.
Is Oscar Tshiebwe right now the best player in the country for Kentucky? I mean, I know he's the real deal, but you watch him, man. I mean, not many people are rebounding at a rate like he is, and now that he's got kind of some of that mid-range game in him as well, it's like this guy's kind of unstoppable. I mean, what's your take on that?
He is. He's the greatest rebounder I've ever seen, and the SEC, I've been, I guess, part of it for about 20 years, either being recruited as a player playing or following as an analyst, and I can't even think of a good comp for him. He imposes his will on both ends of the court. They play through him offensively. Usually if you have a big-time rebounder, let's take a Dennis Rodman. You know, all right, great, he gives you XYZ on the defensive end and gives you that energy, but limited on offense. Not Tshiebwe. I mean, look, they trust him down low in the post. He's very efficient. He's a smart player, and he's not just a bull in a china shop. I mean, he goes in there with a physicality, but also just a gracefulness. He played soccer as a kid. You can kind of see some of that soccer agility footwork that he has that makes him pretty agile down low, pretty good at avoiding foul trouble. But Coach Calipari will sit him with two fouls, like a lot of coaches do in the first half. Bruce Pearl has always been really good at saying, you know what, if that's the key to their team, I'll date myself, but this was years ago. We played against Greg Oden at Ohio State. And I remember, I mean, we were drawing up plays, whether it was ball screen action, baseline drives, literally play calls, not to score, but to get fouls. And I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn tries to get Tshiebwe in foul trouble early, given how valuable he is.
Interesting. Dane, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate the time. Always good catching up. And, where can we catch you this week?
I'll be with your boy Tom Hart tomorrow and Alyssa Lang at Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow, so a rivalry game. And then I don't know where the heck am I. I'll be in my basement Saturday against A&M in Arkansas. But appreciate you guys. Hey, on a serious note, congrats to both of you, man. Y'all had an awesome football season. I've thoroughly enjoyed any time you guys are on a call.
We appreciate it. Appreciate the time. We'll look forward to catching up soon.
Take care. Thanks.
Dane Bradshaw joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, SEC Network basketball analyst.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts,
interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.